Hello and welcome to Tiny Victories, the show where we offer up minor accomplishments and fleeting joys. I'm Laura House.
And I'm Annabelle Gurwitch. And each week on the show, despite that truck carrying porta potties that turned over in North Carolina, we will share one thing that gives us a reason to get out of bed, something Laura and I call a tiny victory.
That's right. So thanks for joining us. For the next 15 minutes or so, we invite you to hit pause on your anxiety. You should try to stop worrying about Christian bullying, and I'll stop worrying about dogs getting monkeypox.
And I'm going to stop worrying about the price of used cars going up.
And now, let's get tiny.
Let's tiny it up. Coming up on the show, I was a C-minus science student, but I learned something super science-y this summer. That's a lot of S's.
Say that 10 times fast. Plus, Eric from Iowa did his Tiny Victories homework assignment and calls in to tell us about a sound from his summer vacation.
I love it.
We love to be heard.
But first, this week's episode is sponsored by LumiLabs.
LumiLabs.
Okay, if you've been listening to the show, you know that I am a big fan of microdosing. And most people, I feel like, in the Western world at least, have been hearing about microdosing. And that is like using small amounts of THC to do different things.
Yeah, help like with creativity.
Creativity, help lessen anxiety. Mm. Some people use it to get in the zone of creativity. For me, it helps me go to sleep.
So nice.
Very important. I just like take half a gummy of my LumiLabs gummies and I'm just off to that perfect sleep that I don't wake up wanting to eat an entire house full of brownies. It's perfect. It's fantastic. I highly recommend it. If this is for you, Microdose is available nationwide.
To learn more about microdosing THC, just go to microdose.com and use code TINY to get free shipping and 30% off your first order. Links can be found in the show description, but again, super easy, microdose.com, code TINY.
Love it. Okay, here we go. It wasn't just a show about alliteration using lots of S words, but Laura.
Yes.
I, as you know, I went to...
I can tell by your tone you're very excited.
I am very excited.
I happen to see you waving your arms around.
I know. I'm very excited.
I don't know if you can hear the arm waves.
You can hear it in my voice.
But
okay.
Probably.
So
I know you're psyched.
I have spent time with scientists this summer. Now, when I was growing up, science had a narcoleptic effect on me. In fact, my 12th grade science teacher, I like had to beg him to give me a C minus instead of a D because I had really earned a D, but I was going to lose my spot at NYU. And I said to him,
"Oh wow,
I'm going to be an actress. I never will use science." He said, "I'll give you the C minus if you promise to never have anything to do with science."
You were
in your
banned
whole life.
From science.
I was banned from science.
Oh wow,
right?
And you're sneaking. Back in.
I snuck back in this summer. Okay. And I fell in love with it. Because I didn't realize how conceptual, because I like concepts. I don't like numbers. I like concepts. It could be.
Right.
So I was just really.
You like ideas.
I like
but when
ideas.
It comes down to math exact, this is the right number, it's a little
that
less.
That doesn't work
it
for
gets
me.
A little, yeah, right. I'm similar.
But I had this amazing experience, and I wanted to share this. It was just so extraordinary. So I went to Vienna, first of all.
Yeah. It's not normal. You've been to Europe twice.
No, it's not
this summer,
normal.
That's not a usual Annabelle summer.
It's just crazy. But I went because I was invited to speak as a patient advocate at the World Lung Cancer conference.
Incredible.
Which was incredible and a great responsibility that I was really honored to and wanted to do a good job at. And I spoke there and the greatest part was, you know, I've lived in the arts community like you and the comedy community. And one of the amazing things about the communities in the arts is I have gone to theater festivals and comedy festivals and there's a kind of camaraderie, you know.
There's an excitement. There's a buzz around.
Right.
There's a like, ooh, are you going to go to this thing? Or did you see that show last night?
Right.
Yeah, exactly.
And that can be such a wonderful tonic to what you think is the competitiveness in the world. Like at the Edinburgh Edinburgh Fringe Festival. You're like, hey, at midnight, so-and-so is doing a show from Poland. And this,
it's yeah, just you hear about an exciting cool one, thing, and you're right. Like, oh, there's one more I'll try
That's
to catch
That's what this conference was like.
I saw where you're going with that, and I love that idea with science, and it's like, did you hear the neurotransmitter guy?
Yeah.
This is like next level. This is like, it was, like a Comic-Con, but they're just the smartest people in the world.
The smartest people in the world were in Vienna.
Did they have funny
several
t-shirts?
Thousands. No, they were all just like looking like ordinary
lab
but
coats.
Fabulous. No lab coats, but fabulous people. This was the crazy thing.
I would love if they had like science puns t-shirts.
Maybe a few, but mostly it was like just super cool people
This
location. And all day long, there were these plenaries and people were presenting. And I would look at the tweets and they'd say, oh, be sure to be there. Oh, my God, 2:30 today.
This, I mean, it was so great. Checking their schedule. Oh, is that room 213?
Yes, oh, my God, they danced me into the ground. There was a benefit for raising money for more scientific investigation because lung cancer is very underfunded and research. And so I went to this benefit in a palace, okay?
Okay, what?
And it was electronic dancers that we danced to like 1:30 with these scientists. It was like, oh, I'm from Argentina. I'm from Mexico City.
Oh, wow.
I'm from Australia. It was everyone was working on something interesting in a different part of the world.
Quick question.
Yes.
Are there good science dancers, or did it just look like a dance floor of Elaine Benes's?
It looked like a dance floor of like great dancers.
All right.
At one point, I was like, it was like 1:30 in the morning and I was feeling winded and I thought, this could go badly for me, but I'm here with all the leading lung cancer doctors in the world.
If you're going to pass out anywhere, you could really test it. I love at some point you're like, I'm in this really safe space to test my limits here.
That's
incredible.
And then they're all up the next day, 7:15. There's a presentation. It was so exciting. I think I was up for like 3 days straight. And
that's so neat.
I learned something that I wanted to share I thought was very provocative. So actually,
I got hung up on the dancing as the tiny victory. But
me too. So I also attended another science conference in Charlotte, North Carolina.
Okay, I'm sorry. Now you're an addict.
Yeah, I'm an addict now.
Now you're like the people who follow fish around.
Yes.
But for science.
Exactly. Science bird watcher for science.
For psychons.
Okay. So here's a concept I learned from Dr. Jacob Kaufman, who is a researcher in the field of lung cancer.
Okay.
And it has to do with how the immune system works.
Okay.
So, I had this idea of like, oh, there's this immune system in our bodies and it just goes and fights diseases. But how does it do that? Right.
I admit I have not put much thought into it.
Me neither. But you know you want to like boost this system or this system could be down. But what does that mean? So the way he explained it, I thought was so interesting. So he says to me that the immune system is like a gang of cells. And it goes out there and it asks itself when it encounters other gangs of cells, which is kind of like the Jets and Sharks in West Side Story. Think about it this way.
We're some cells.
Yes, exactly. It says, are you self? Or are you other?
Mm.
So what it's doing is, if it is other, it
other bad.
Other would meaning be like a cell
an
doing
invader.
Something weird.
It's up to something,
right? Then that's when it knows to go and try to and deploy itself, this immune system, try to fix that, right? Mm-hmm. Because it's not like. That's how it recognizes self or other. It's something different, right? And so actually what I learned about with my own lung cancer, form of lung cancer that I have, is that the reason why I can't actually take immune therapy for my kind of disease is that the cells that are doing weird things, these others, have disguised themselves.
Oh.
They have like a cloak of invisibility over the cells.
They've disguised themselves as self.
As
the
self.
They pretend to be good cells.
Yes.
And,
the immune system can't see it as other. And the work he's doing is to try to unmask these cells so they can be seen.
To now, rip off the tiny little mustaches off
yes,
those cells.
Yes, that's exactly.
They're trying to sneak in.
Right.
To like take... pull back the trench coat and go, yes. You're just two kids take off in a trench coat. You're not a grown man.
Take off the Harry Potter cloak of invisibility. Now, the crazy thing is I've read about this stuff, but I've never understood it until he explained it in this way of
That's
self
so great.
And other. And I was so struck by this. I started thinking about this, and I've been thinking about this every day in terms of so many aspects of life, because I think, well, this is the idea of self and other is something I think about all the time. For instance, if you are someone like me who is anxious, I'm always thinking about, is it self or is it other? Mm-hmm. Are my issues something of my own making, or is the world actually on fire?
And
sometimes it's the world,
right.
Sometimes it's other, but sometimes it's self.
And politically, we can't get along because we've decided we're self and other is other, and we can't talk about anything.
Right. So I've been thinking about this as sort of like the way that we all, on some levels, are interpreting the world. And I just, this idea that the little cells in our bodies are doing the same thing too.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that's a trippy part.
Such a trippy thing. But I think it's very interesting way to sort of also look at, you know, daily life and how you want to interpret the world. And I feel like that's become sort of a question I ask myself every day. It's just a sort of like, I always like these sort of what I call like little shortcuts to sanity.
Yes.
And
yeah.
If I can have a little phrase that helps me if I'm like stuck in something like self or other.
Cuts through, yeah.
Self or other in a relationship. Like if I'm dealing with an issue, I think self or other. Usually it is self. I just want to say that. The problem is self. But I just thought that's such an interesting way of making that kind of science accessible and a thought process. And I thought maybe I would share that with our listeners and see if they felt, and I'd love to hear from you if you feel like the self-other classification is helpful to you. And I'm going to throw you one more mind game here. So I said to Dr. to Kaufman.
Oh, you met you in person.
We were in this little group fangirled talking.
Out.
Yeah, I said, well, if this cancer cells, the other, is in our bodies already. Like cancer isn't something like you get like a virus.
Right, it's in you. It kind of comes alive in you. Right,
right?
Everybody has.
Yeah. Then
has
I said,
it a little.
Well, then it's all self, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
There is no other. Self doing things that are maybe destructive, but there is no other. It's all self.
What did
That's
he
just
say?
A little fucking.
No, but what did he say?
Well, that blows my whole way of describing it, Annabelle.
First of all, I love that you chess matched the master. But also that was the thought that kept coming into my mind in the meditation practice that I learned, like my meditation teacher and yours as well, in the Vedic view of the world. Like essentially, it is enlightenment when you kind of realize or accept or have digested that there is no other, that I am that, thou art that. The idea that there is only one thing is sort of the ultimate spiritual enlightenment of, you know, in all that is existence and even non-existence, it's really just all one organism. So how do I be at peace within that?
Yeah, I mean, also, and this is just getting a little philosophical.
So basically, you're enlightened, basically.
Well, I'm working on it. But I just want to say one last thing about this, which is that, you know, it also made me, by understanding this, it made me feel, just getting an entry level understanding of this. It gave me a sense of not feeling so... I don't want to say victimized.
No, I know what you're saying.
Like, it's like
an understanding
this is
of
like
what's
nature.
Happening. You can compartmentalize,
right.
Or
right, and to say to yourself, okay, and so you don't ask yourself like, why me? Why did I get this? It was just sort of a way of understanding. Okay, so there's some cells that are doing some other things in my body, and you know,
passing for selves.
That's not
doing other.
Yeah, that's not good. But it just seemed more like I understand this is part of the natural world. I am a piece in the natural world. And I found
that's
that big. Very big and empowering.
It is.
And somehow or another, that has made my, just given me a little more ease in the world. So I offer self, other, maybe all self to all of us today as a way of thinking.
I have nothing to add. That was beautiful.
Okay.
<We're> gonna... Nothing to add except adoration. No. That was incredible.
And thank you, Dr. Kaufman, and all the scientists I met this summer who were kind enough and generous enough to tolerate my presence and fangirlness.
In my mind, you have an autograph book that's just full of Dr. So-and-so, Dr. So-and-so, Dr. And you can't read any of it. They have terrible handwriting. Everybody knows from
all the
old jokes in the 80s.
In lung cancer science. Okay. We're taking a quick break so you can hear from another show on the Max Fun Network when we come back. Eric from Iowa.
You've been waiting.
Hey there, I'm Ellen Weatherford.
And I'm Christian Weatherford.
And we've got big feelings about animals that we just gotta share.
On Just the Zoo of Us, your new favorite animal review podcast, we're here to critically evaluate how each animal excels and how it doesn't, rating them out of 10 on their effectiveness, ingenuity, and aesthetics.
Guest experts give you their takes informed by actual, real-life experiences studying and working with very cool animals like sharks, cheetahs, and sea turtles.
It's a field trip to the zoo for your ears.
So if you or your kids have ever wondered if a pigeon can count, why sloths move so slow, or how a spider sees the world, find out with us every Wednesday on Just the Zoo of Us in its natural habitat on MaximumFun.org.
Listen and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to Tiny Victories. I'm Laura House.
And I'm Annabelle Gerwich.
And we love when people call in, and we're gonna hear from Eric in Iowa. I talked about Annabelle sent out a call to the universe, meaning
yes.
you listeners, and
yes.
said, can a highlight of the summer be a sound or something simple
yes.
and not have to be amazing vacation in Switzerland
sounds.
Or whatever? Yours was frog sounds. I mentioned my bulldog. And here's Eric from Iowa.
Hi, this is Eric. I'm from Iowa. Just listened to your episode on summer vacations and thought that I would say that my sound of summer vacation was earlier in June, we picked up a new puppy. Her name is Coco. She is a chocolate-colored English bulldog. And just about a week ago, we heard her first real bark. She has always done the little, you know, kind of like barky kind of like sound, you know, yipping kind of thing. But someone walked past the house the other day, and she looked out the window and gave a big whoop. And that was pretty big for my little four-month-old puppy. So that was the sound that just made my summer. So thanks so much for the pod. Absolutely love it. Love listening to you guys. Have a great day.
Coco.
Don't you can hear the smile
yes,
in Eric's voice.
It's a puppy. I too have a chocolate colored bulldog. She is brindle, so it's kind of squirrel-like sort of colorings. That is so great. We call that sound in our house.
Uh-huh.
And I love that you were present. We talk about fleeting joys and victories here, like that you were present to the moment of the bark. Like that was like, you know, my child stood today and you were like, my four-month-old puppy gave the first bark. And you were like, I have to tell someone who is going to care, Annabelle and Laura.
We do.
Because that is life. The joy of life is these moments of just, oh, I've noticed this thing that I love made a new sound and it's
I
so
know,
good.
I know, it's so great.
In our house.
Yes. What do you have a nickname for that kind of bark?
We call it a Murph.
What is that?
Because it sounds like they're saying Murph. It, you know, it's like Murph. It's because it's not a like a rah, 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 rah. Look, maybe I just need to talk to Eric from Iowa about this because I'm getting cat lady face from you. Annabelle is throwing so much cat lady shade at me right now. I just, for the record, I need everyone to know.
I'm just,
she's like,
I'm convinced. Okay, I'm
what's
thinking,
a Murph or a Park? What are you talking about?
Well, what I was thinking was self or other. And I was thinking that actually your dog, Minnie, does not make that sound, but you and Brian.
No, it's a Murph.
Murph. All day long.
I'm gonna drag Brian in here to do a Murph for you.
Minnie Murph.
I'd have to follow her around all day. The Minnie Murph. I don't know when she.
Oh my God, a Minnie Murph.
I will give me time. I will try to capture the Murph because it's a spontaneous. It's a magical time.
I feel like it's an Indiana Jones movie. Indiana Jones number 17,000 capturing the Murph. Okay,
capturing the Murph.
Something to
I'll,
look
I'll
forward to.
I'll go on a Murph
to.
Hunt. Sure. Eric, look what you did to me.
Okay. Well, until that's it for this week's show, until we capture that Murph. Thank you, Eric, and Murph.
It starts to sound dirty. And yes, thank you to everyone who calls in. We may not be able to share your victory right away, but we love doing episode sharing listener victories, so please keep them coming. You can call the Tiny Victory Hotline at 323-285-1675.
I'm just imagining like all kinds of people sending us dog Murph. Barking.
Yeah, well, ours is more of a haroo or whatever. I would love
or
it.
Other, it's just you and Brian.
That's just
I don't even know if Minnie exists anymore.
I'm just a spin-off podcast of pet sounds.
Okay. You can record your Tiny Victory on the voice memo app of your choice. Email us the audio. You can also send cat meows. You know, one of us is a cat lady here. Our email is tinyvictories@maximumfun.org. You can leave us a comment or a suggestion or meow or a bark on our Instagram or Twitter. Our handles on both are @tinypod.
At this point, we're just speaking to pets. That's right. In response to our show entitled Goodbye Social Anxiety, Hello Newly Organized Life, Donna Stromso on Instagram commented, "It's a comfort to know we aren't alone with our anxieties." Thanks all. Smiley emoji with a bead of sweat.
I don't even know what that means. There
it's
is
a tiny
smile
emoji with
a
bead of sweat. It's like a shoo.
You know I'm emoji free.
It's relief.
Okay, we'll talk about that another time, my emoji freeness. Okay, and to help us get the word out about the show, please tell your friends or family or anyone you meet that you think needs a little bit of goodness in their lives.
And thanks to Brian Swartz for our theme music. Our producer is Laura Swisher, and our editor is Christian Duenas.
We'll see you next week. In the meantime, may you have many self and other tiny victories that did not make any sense.
May yourselves get all the tiny victories and not the other.
Yeah, I'm down with that.
This is a production of Maximum Fun.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Audience supported.